Let me start with three initial observations. First, the present crisis is multidimensional, global, and volatile. Its multidimensionality makes it very complex. Its global nature makes it diverse. And its volatility makes policy responses difficult. The second observation is that even though we don't talk about it, no economic crisis, or no crisis for that matter, is gender neutral. Therefore, there are asymmetrical impacts of women because of this present crisis. The third one is that sometimes we focus more on the short-term impacts of the crisis, but there are also longer-term impacts. And the crisis may provide us with an opportunity to deal with some of the structural challenges and the constraints that are there in terms of development challenges. Having talked about these three initial observations, the critical question is therefore, what have been and what are the impacts of the present crisis? A lot have been said, a lot have been written on the economic impacts of the crisis. Some have been said and some have been written on the human development impacts of the crisis, but very little have been said and have been written on the gender impact of the crisis. So therefore, if we start from that particular point, then I think in very generic terms, we can categorize three major impacts of this crisis on gender issues. The first set of impacts may be talked about as economic impacts. Some of the impacts are very clear. When the trade goes down in a particular country, and if the country is a major exporter of garments, then you have a major employment impact on the garment workers, majority of whom are women. This has been documented in the case of Cambodia. This has been documented in the case of Bangladesh. We also know that if there are lots of female workers who are working abroad, like countries like Bangladesh or Philippines, then you also have the problem of returned migrants, because women are losing jobs in their receiving countries and they are coming back. It also has an impact on remittances. These are clear evidence of the job losses, of income losses. In some cases, things are not so clear. In a country, if there are manufacturing jobs which are being lost, and if men dominate those manufacturing jobs, then the loss of jobs of women, as they are more in informal sector, in low-wage sectors, may not be as rapid as the job loss of men. We also have situations when women who have not been part of the labor force so far have to come out for seeking jobs because you need extra income and you need additional money to sustain your family. Therefore, these are some of the economic impacts that we can see are very much related to women vis-a-vis the jobs and the income channel. The second set of impacts are related more to human development. And we all know that whenever there is a kind of a crisis, it's women and the girls who bear the brunt of the crisis first. In terms of dropout rates in school, it's the girls who are to go first. And we have seen that during the 1998 crisis, on average, when one boy has to leave school because of the crisis, is more or less four girls who had to leave school. In terms of getting health facilities, it would be the same story. In terms of the human development impacts, there is also the whole issue of the intra-household disparity of food consumption, of health facilities. As a result, there is an asymmetrical impact on nutrition as far as girls are concerned. That is also part of the human development outcome. The last aspect of the human development outcome, which has already been touched upon by different speakers, is the whole notion of the care work and care economy. As the crisis looms large, as women in many cases have to come out of home to seek jobs, and as they are the primary caregivers within the households and the community, you also have an impact on the care economy there. These are human development outcomes. You do not see them immediately as a result of the crisis, but with a time lag, they always are there to be taken care of. Finally, there is a set of impacts which may be very specific to women during a crisis. We all know that during a crisis, because of the stress, because of the job losses, because of the income, the whole issue of domestic violence becomes an issue. And within the households, within the community, the domestic violence of a crisis-ridden country has been well documented. We also know that because of the crisis, the job losses, and the situation, there may be increasing trafficking of women across borders. There can be increasing prostitution in many societies. And these are specific impacts which have an effect on women's lives, their dignity, and so on and so forth. Having talked of this gender impacts of the crisis, the fundamental question is, what kind of perspective do we have to take with respect to economic crisis? The first perspective I think we should take with regard to the crisis is a human development perspective. Economic impacts are important. Job losses are important. Economic growths are important. Terms of trade are important. But at the end of the day, it is basically the nutrition, it is the life expectancy of people, it is the educational attainment of children, which are more important. Therefore, because of this crisis, we should not forget about the human development outcomes and the adverse human development impacts of the crisis, along with, in addition to, the economic and financial impacts. That's the first perspective that we have to take. The second perspective that we have to take, that because of this crisis, we are talking about a lot of the things, about the economic aspects, the financial aspects, and so on and so forth. And we are taking our eyes off the Millennium Development Goals. Now, as the economic crisis is getting deeper, more intensive, there will be slower growth of progress in terms of Millennium Development Goals or MDGs. There will also be MDG reversals in many countries. Countries who were on track will now be off the track. And the point we should make that the crisis should not be used as an excuse for diverting resources and energy and efforts away from the MDGs, rather that the crisis provides the right kind of rationale for providing more resources and focusing more on the MDGs. That's the second perspective. And the third and the final perspective is that even though we are talking about a crisis as if it is a homogeneous term, there are crises in the sense that it's not only multidimensional, it is very much specific to the country context and the region context. So the regional dimension, the country dimension of the crisis and their impacts should not be forgotten. With these perspectives, if we think of the responses to this crisis, let me just put on the table a five-prong response. And mind you, these are neither comprehensive, nor they cover every kind of thoughts and ideas that we can put on the table. The first response is there has to be global advocacy, regional consultations, and country dialogues as to how we deal with this particular crisis. The global advocacy is important because of mobilizing the global community. It is a global crisis, and it requires a global response. The regional consultations are important because of the region-specific nature of the crisis. And therefore, if we bring together the regional experts, people who know the region, who have been familiar with the crisis in that particular region in earlier times, can really provide the kind of the insights that are needed at the regional level. The country dialogue is important because of finding the ways and the means as to how we deal with the crisis. It is absolutely important to document it. It is absolutely important to bring in the human stories to the table for this advocacy, consultancy, and consultations and dialogue. The second approach should be that there has to be impact assessment. No policies can be developed, no meaningful policies can be developed unless we know the impacts of this crisis. And in terms of the impact assessment, there has to be a kind of a division of work. Organizations and people who do the economic impact assessment better, let them do it. But then the whole question of the human development impact assessment, bringing in the gender impact assessment, the asymmetrical impacts on women because of their specific situations have to be brought out clearly. Therefore, the tools and the methodologies need to be developed in order to do a kind of an impact assessment. We know that there is a lag between the crisis and the human development impacts, but even in that particular context, there are enough proxy variables, there are enough ways of getting the information that we want to get. Thirdly, the third approach should be that as far as the crisis is concerned, there has to be an immediate response in protecting poor people, in protecting vulnerable groups. So therefore, there is a need for designing the necessary social protection programs. The social protection programs can be the school feeding program in many countries that we have looked at. It can be the public works program, which can really generate employment very quickly. It can be the employment guarantee scheme that has been experimented in many situations. But we need to design the kind of the social protection program which can really help the poor people, protect them at this particular moment. There can be ring fencing of social expenditures around poor people and their access to social services, which can be of value. Fourthly, there has to be policy support. There has to be policy support in terms of the fiscal space that has been referred to by a number of speakers. But there has to be policy support and policy innovations also. A crisis of this nature cannot be solved with the kind of business as usual approach. We need to have innovative approaches there. One can think of that so far the whole microfinance in number of countries has been targeted towards dealing with the income poverty of poor people. Can there be any way of bringing the microfinance to the MDGs, if we call it a kind of an M for M, microfinance for the MDGs kind of program, whether we can bring the microfinance program for the kind of nutritional aspects of children or access to safe water, is there a way of innovation in that particular area? These are the kind of the things we have to think of in terms of policy support. Final approach should be that there has to be knowledge sharing. It's not that people are waiting for the United Nations system or the academics or the government or the NGOs to deal with the crisis on a day-to-day basis. There have been innovative approaches. There have been initiatives that have been taken by different societies. I think we should also be used as a kind of a platform for sharing those kind of knowledges. There can be southern solutions to problems. There can be knowledge sharing of experiments from south to south. And that kind of knowledge sharing and networking is crucial in dealing with this crisis. In conclusion, as I have already said, that this is a global crisis and it would need a global response. The difference of this particular crisis vis-a-vis other crises are that this has got multidimensionality, the food crisis aspect of it, the financial aspect of it, the human aspect of it, and the economic aspect of it. And it is also global. So the scope for maneuverability is quite limited. But if we put our heads, hands, and hearts together, I'm pretty sure that we all can overcome this particular crisis as we have done in the past. Thank you.